Today we're going to be continuing our in-between series. We've been looking from Easter Sunday, and we'll be heading towards the Pentecost Sunday at the moments when Jesus encountered his followers as the risen Christ. And so already we've looked at some of these incidents already, and there were several of them during that particular 40-day period. And today we are going to look at the incident where those who are following him have gone back fishing. So Rob's going to come and read to us from John chapter 21. So if you've got your Bibles or you want to switch on your app to follow the reading, John chapter 21, starting at the first verse. Thank you very much, Rob.
John chapter 21, Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee from Cana in Galilee, and the two other disciples were together. And going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets out on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard them say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, following the net full of fish, for they were not towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore. About 100 meters, when they had handed in, they saw a fire burning coal, there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you very much indeed. Well, thanks to Andy Kind for last week's sermon. If you weren't able to be here last week, do catch up with it on YouTube as well. Andy gave us a very challenging message that invited us all to consider our own commitment to follow Jesus and the opportunity that Jesus gives to all of us to start again, if you like, to have a new beginning in our lives, in our particular stories. So please do catch up with that and any of the series that you've missed so far. So I want to revisit this particular passage of John's Gospel this morning. Jesus meeting the disciples afresh during this in-between time. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. He's appeared to Mary. He's spoken peace over the 11 in a locked room. He's invited Thomas to stop doubting and to believe. And John writes this in John chapter 20 and verse 30, which almost seems to be like the end of his gospel, and yet we've got another chapter on. But he writes this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I love this about Jesus, don't you? The whole purpose is that Jesus might bring us life, that we might have life in his name. And so John, throughout his gospel, is trying to help us to understand that this is what Jesus can bring to each person who encounters him: life, that you may believe, that you may continue to believe who Jesus is, the Messiah and the Son of God. Now, John, of course, in his gospel, in his good news account of Jesus, he started off right at the very beginning talking about life. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, John writes this: in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of for all people. Yeah, this is John's intention, to point us to the life that Jesus offers us, the fullness of life that Jesus spoke about. John 10:10, he says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Not some half measure, not some treading in the shallow sort of life, but diving in fully into the midst of that life that he wants to bring us. And sometimes we don't live at that sort of life, do we? There are times when our following Jesus almost becomes a little bit mundane, dare I say. Or it's just like we're going through the motions, and yet the promise of Jesus is life. I've come that you have life. In him was life. And here's John saying, you know, I've written this so that you might have life in his name. And so it's that life that we want to try and seek. And it's that life that I think Jesus is wanting to bring to these particular disciples on that particular day in that particular place. He's already called them to follow him. That was his initial call to each one of these. Come, follow me. It's where we all start in our journey of faith. Come, follow me. But not only just step by step, but to be filled with life itself because of your encounter with Jesus. Now, you may know that this sort of passage in John after the resurrection really just echoes a sort of pre-resurrection experience of these followers of Jesus that's recorded in Luke chapter 5, the first call of the disciples, the fishing disciples. Peter and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were out fishing, and Jesus called them, come follow me. And Luke records for us that they left their nets and followed him. That it was as simple as that. So why, after the call of Jesus that says, come and follow me, we're going to go and catch people, right back at the beginning, do now these same followers who caught that vision, who responded to that call, why do they now go back fishing? After seeing the empty tomb, having seen Jesus alive twice in a locked room, why do they go back fishing? They've seen him on the evening of the first week. They've seen him a week later in John chapter 20, 26 as well. So why? Why go back fishing? Now, I've nothing against fishing particularly. I tried it twice in my life and caught nothing and gave up very quickly after that. Sold everything I'd bought in the hope that I might catch a fish, but, you know, when you don't catch fish, you tend to sell everything you've got. But they wanted to go back. I don't know whether they caught any fish between that first time when they didn't catch any Luke 5 and now when they're not catching any again, but for some reason they wanted to go back to perhaps what was familiar to them. Or maybe there was no fear. Maybe because they were certain that Jesus was alive now, that they thought, well, we might as well just go fishing again and do what Jesus told us to do, and that is just to wait. That is what he said. Just wait, and you'll receive. So maybe on the boat that day, they were continuing their waiting. But Jesus takes this as another opportunity to reveal himself in the midst of their waiting, in the midst of the ordinary day that they were experiencing. Jesus had called them to wait, and now here they were, once again, waiting, open to seeing Jesus again, to experiencing this life that he came to bring them. But just as they didn't catch anything in Luke chapter 5, once again, nothing caught. No fish, anyway. Bad fishermen? Or maybe not meant to go back fishing. Maybe it was a reminder for them that this wasn't their call, that there was something greater that he was calling them to, and that call was still there. And I don't know whether Jesus was being sarcastic on that particular day or just taking the mickey out of them, really. Friends, lads, guys, haven't you caught any fish? Can you imagine in that moment a group of fishermen having to admit, no. Imagine that, no, haven't caught any again. It may not have been the most pastorally sensitive question that he could have asked them on that day, but I think it brought them right back to the very heart of what he had called them to in the first place. A little reminder that their business now is still not catching fish. They're clearly not very good at it anyway. But a reminder that the mission isn't completed yet. I called you to catch people, and that is what we're going to do again. This is where it started for you. Remember the story now of all that's happened. And I'm going to invite you again to take up the call that I've given to you in the first place. This journey with Jesus has always been about life, the fullness of life. It's always been about light and being drawn to it. So now, this is where it starts. I wonder where it started for you. When did you first hear the call of Jesus to follow him? For some of you, maybe it happened in an instant, in a most unlikely place. For others of you, maybe it was a more gradual unfolding, an awareness of who Jesus was. For me, it started in a Salvation Army church in Uxbridge in West London when I was 6 years old. That's where my journey started. And I can play the video. Well, we didn't know what videos were then when I was 6 years old. I can play the 16mm tape in my head of exactly how it happened and when it happened and where it happened. I could, if the building was still there, I'd take you back to the spot that it happened. The call to follow him. Can you recall where it started for you? Can you recall where that invitation came and began? And who offered it to you? Well, Jesus offered it, maybe through somebody else as well. But wherever it started, we need to hear the call of Jesus again and again and again. A reminder that keeps us true to that calling that he's placed upon us to follow him. And from that reminder, Jesus proceeds to engage them in another miracle. And reminds them all what it is that his call to follow is really all about. Fishing for people is still their mission. Fishing for people is still our mission. Just in case you've got any doubts, this is still the call. If you take a look at who was in the boat that particular day. Peter was in the boat that day. Peter, you're not meant to catch fish. I called you to catch people. Now come on, let's get on with it. Thomas was in the boat that day. Thomas, in case you've got any more doubts, come and eat with me. Let's get close together. Nathaniel was in the boat that day. Did you notice he was from Cana in Galilee? If you know John's Gospel, you'll know that in John chapter 3, the first miracle of Jesus was in Cana in Galilee. Chances are Nathanael would have been there in that wedding party, wouldn't he? He would have known what had happened on that particular day. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee. Remember when I came to that wedding in your hometown and the host ended up serving the most magnificent wine ever, Chateau Lowe, AD 30? Do you remember that day? Sorry for my French, but anyway, I'll maybe pass. Nathaniel, do you remember that day? James and John were in the boat that day, the sons of Zebedee. Remember when your mum asked me, Jesus, that you could have the best seats in the kingdom? Do you remember that day, James and John? Well, now you know what those seats cost. Here's the proof. Wow. For everyone in that boat that day, Jesus is recalling for them, this is my call, this is the mission Are we going to do it together? Perhaps we need to pause and remember where it all started for us as well. What the call of Jesus was then and is still now. Because when we do what Jesus calls us to do in the way that he calls us to do it, that's when things begin to happen. That's when you catch fish. There are so many. It's so hard to haul them in. That's when life happens. So whatever you're doing right now, wherever you're at in this particular journey, whether you're still trying to understand the call of Jesus on your life, whether you've just become a follower of his or whether you've been following him for many years, whatever you're doing right now, Jesus will make himself known to you. If you've been out fishing on a boat all night and caught nothing, Jesus wants to make himself known to you. If you feel that your life has just got a bit stuck and you're going through the motions, Jesus wants to make himself known to you. He's on the shore calling you. He wants to grab your attention again, to say, this is where it started for you. Remember the call I placed on your life. The text tells us that as soon as the miracle happened, the disciple who Jesus loved, which we assume is John writing his own name there without being too big-headed and writing his name, he said to Peter, it is the Lord. And Peter responded. It always seems a bit weird to me that he put his clothes on to go swimming, but there we are. That's what he had to do that day because it might have been a bit embarrassing otherwise. But he jumped straight in and swam to shore. Light and life were waiting for him that morning, and he knew it. And he couldn't wait to get back. And there are some of you, maybe, you can't wait to get back and you're so frustrated and you're not sure how you're going to get back. Well, put some clothes on and jump in. That's all you need to do because Jesus will make himself known to you, whatever you're doing right now. Because the call to follow Jesus hasn't changed for Peter. It hasn't changed for any of us. And the potential is vast. They were reminded how vast the potential was for the call that he placed on them to catch people. And you and I, we know how vast the potential is, don't we? We have friends, we have family, we have neighbors, we have colleagues, and we know that they're not followers of Jesus. They haven't responded to his call. We know the potential is vast. And Jesus stands lovingly saying, friends, haven't you any fish? Haven't you any fish? You know, I think there was a time when people were very hostile towards the idea of faith. I think we went through a period in life when people just didn't want to know anything about it. In fact, they were against it. But I believe now that that's changed. I believe over recent years that's changed. I believe there's a hunger for an answer to the meaning of life. There's a hunger for the hope that we sang about earlier, the hope that we can explore through that course. There's a hunger for it now. And perhaps we've been fishing on the wrong side of the boat. And the fish have moved elsewhere and we haven't quite caught up with them yet. And we need to throw the net on the right side. That's what Hope Explored is about. That's what that 3-week course is about, to invite people to say, let's explore where hope is right now for you. And I believe that might be part of a process for us to invite people to it, where people we know can recover that hope. Some of the people, you know, they used to follow Jesus. They heard the call, but they've turned away now. But he's still calling his insistent call. The big questions of life that you and I wrestled with when we were younger, they're still the big questions of life. You don't have to go too far in a conversation these days to hear those questions being asked by somebody you know. Perhaps for too long, the church has been seen as a place of condemnation and criticism rather than a place for conversation. Maybe we've spent too long being known for what we're against, and no one is listening to what we are for. We're for hope. We're for life. We're for light, because that's what Jesus is for, and that's what we, the people of God, are called to be for as well. And maybe we have to earn the right again to be heard, to be listened to. And that's where each of us can be involved. That's where each of us can take time to build healthy relationships with people in order to continue the conversation. And help them find that hope. That's what the Salt and Light course is trying to help us to do as well. And I do encourage you, if you didn't come last week, do come this week. It's really helpful to revisit some of this. How can we begin to share this hope with others as well? Jesus will make himself known for you wherever you are right now, because everything is possible. And what a catch, 153. Do you ever wonder about that number, 153? It's very precise, isn't it? Perhaps Jesus was an accountant. Maybe John was an accountant, was he? Or an auditor, maybe. I don't know who's worse. No. Do you know Augustine, you know, the very famous Christian, he notes that 153 is a mathematical equation. It's 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 all the way up to plus 17. And if you add all those numbers together, it comes to 153. Isn't that amazing? Fact today. And then Augustine went on to say that 17 is 10 plus 7. He was amazing, wasn't he? And he said the 10 is the 10 commandments and the 7 is the 7 spirits of God. That was his answer to 153. Gregory the Great, he reaches 17 the same way, but he multiplies 17 by 3. Come on. 17 by 3? 51. 51 by 3 is 153. Isn't that amazing? Wow, good old Gregory the Great. Others observe that 17 is the number of loaves and bread in the feeding, number of loaves of bread in the feeding of 5,000 plus the number of baskets that were picked up for the leftovers. Who knows? Who cares? I mean, who cares, to be honest? Well, John cared because he wrote it down, but it's a sign of abundance, isn't it? See, the potential is vast, and Jesus is trying to help us to see what is at stake if we do what he asks us to do in the way that he asks us to do it. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. So whatever you're doing, he'll make himself known. He's on the shore watching you. He's watching and inviting you, compelling you to go and catch fish again. But wherever you are now, right now, Jesus is going to meet you there as well. If you know the Easter story, the post-resurrection story, Mary was in a garden and Jesus met her through her tears. Cleopas and his companion, they were walking to Emmaus and Jesus met them through their despondency. The disciples were in a locked room and Jesus met them in their fear. Thomas wouldn't believe it and Jesus met him in his doubts. The fishing disciples had caught no fish and Jesus helped them catch everything. Each time reminded of something Jesus said or done before, his grace is freely offered to all those who will receive it. And Mary, she turned around and saw Jesus. And Cleopas and his followers, they returned back to Jerusalem and told everybody about it. The disciples, they unlocked the door and went out again. Thomas reached out and touched. The fishermen threw their nets onto the other side. You see what happens when you meet Jesus? Things suddenly take a turn for the better. Literally, a turn for the better. And Jesus will meet you where you are. That's what the fishermen had to do. And when they did, they couldn't wait to meet Jesus where he was. Verse 9 says, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. See, Jesus has got the fire started already. The fire's already lit. It's burning. And you're invited to come and eat. It's that simple, really. Jesus walks with those who are walking away. He meets people who are struggling with faith. He waits for people who have gone back fishing. And he's already lit the fire and has more than enough to share with us. It's so hard to be critical of the followers of Jesus, isn't it, for their responses? Because I'm guessing I probably would have gone back fishing if I was any good at it, although they weren't, so I would have been in good company. But all the time they'd been out fishing, Jesus had been carefully starting a fire that he wanted others to gather round and to catch hold of the life and light that came from it, that comes from his life as he died and rose again. And while the fishermen were so engrossed in their own work, Jesus had already got the fish, he'd already baked the bread, and now he was waiting for them to come to eat with him. light and life on offer. I wonder if he's waiting for you today. I wonder if he's waiting for you to come to where he is, to feel the life and light from the fire that he's already lit in this world, that burst out of the tomb that particular day, that says, "Here I am, follow me." There's life, there's light in your life and into our world. Come and eat and bring what you have, and we'll use that as well. Let him ignite your faith, will you? Let him set you on fire for his mission. Reaffirm that calling that you had from him that simply says, "Come and follow me." Let's sit around the table with him, shall we? Around the fire. As we gather around this table this morning to remember through bread and the drink this morning, then, you know, we start again. There's a freshness that comes again as we remember with thanks all that he's done, and as we look forward with anticipation for all that he is yet to do. The bread and the cup are reminders of what he's done for us. So stop doing it your way. Come and eat and drink, and together be emboldened for the call that he's placed on our lives today. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. I pray that as we share this meal this morning, that you will find that life again and discover the fullness of his presence for you today.